dir. Amen. I think we saw what burden the Lord has with the gospel. He called us to this ministry. He called us to the ministry of reconciliation. And it's really a burden in his heart, because the Lord did so much that people could be saved. He humbled himself so much. He was obedient to the Father. He died for us. He was even made low among the people. And when we see that, then we need to recognize it's so important to the Lord for people to be saved. It's really a burden on our Lord's heart. When we see that, then I think we should make ourselves ready so that we are ready in season, out of season, in every opportunity to speak the word of the Lord, to save people, that this glory through his death, through his resurrection has been completed, that it would spread out here on earth. When the Lord died and resurrected and completed his work, but nobody believes in it, nobody is saved, it's not that glorious, I think. The work needs to be spread out. This gospel needs to reach the ends of the earth. And in this way, the glory becomes visible. The glory is there, but it needs to be proclaimed to all nations so that the people can see the glory of our God. That's how we can see in how Philip, in the book of Acts, he was always ready to proclaim the word. In Acts chapter 8, we read very often, in verse 4 it says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." In verse 12, "And when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." In verse 25 again, "So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So it seems that Philip and the brothers seemed to be always occupied preaching the gospel. In verse 40, "But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." He preached in all the cities. That shows that he didn't really do that much more than to preach the gospel at every time, at all times, wherever he went. We read in 2 Timothy 4, we read, "Preach the word in season and out of season." This is really a challenge of that Paul gave to Timothy. He encouraged him, be ready in season and out of season, always to preach the gospel. This is what is on our Lord's heart. And this is our willingness, how we can give ourselves to the Lord as volunteers. But the Lord doesn't just let us go out on our own and leave us on our own, because he knows that often in our soul life we are weak. I have to praise the Lord because he really gave us a spirit. And in Matthew 26, verse 46, it says, "Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." It's good to see that by watching and praying, we can let our spirit be filled. And it says here, the spirit indeed is always willing. The spirit is willing, but our flesh is often weak, and often we feel weak, but the spirit is always willing. Amen. And we all have received this spirit. It's this spirit of faith that we have received, like we read in 2 Corinthians. We've all received the same spirit of faith. And this spirit is that what is speaking in us, testifying in us. And we have this faith. We believe, therefore we speak. Even when we feel weak, we have this faith. And by this faith, we can speak, because the Spirit is with us, and the Spirit is He who testifies. The Spirit is He who convicts the people. And when we read in Acts or in the Gospels, so often the Lord tells us, arise and go. Like He tells to Philip, He says, arise and go toward the Saul along the road. Or to Peter, He says, stand up and kill. Stand up and kill. Or He told to Paul, stand up. Stand upon your feet, for this the Lord has appeared to us. And the Lord often says to us, arise, stand up. He knows our weaknesses, but He still says to us, stand up, arise. We don't need to look at our weaknesses. We can really believe Him. We have received the spirit of faith. And that's why we can say, we are going to stand up with You, Lord. I arise with You, Lord. Also in the Gospels, so often the Lord said, arise, stand up. He said to a lame, stand up, arise, take your bed and walk around. He told to someone who, a leprous man, a leper, He said, He spoke to him, stand up and go, for your faith has healed you. So again and again we see that it is a matter of our faith. The Lord gave us this faith, that's why we can stand up. We can go for Him. In another encountering in Mark 5, the Lord is speaking to the daughter of the chief of the synagogue, and all the people already thought that his daughter had died already. But the Lord comes into this house, and what does He do? He takes the hand of this girl, and He says, Talita kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. This word of the Lord has such a power. He even says this to a little girl. You would think, and the people thought she was already dead. But this power of the Lord is capable to make the dead alive. The Lord said to Lazarus, come out of your grave. He said, come out. Even though Lazarus really had already died, he was already buried. But the Lord still said, come out of your grave. Stand up. And He said this also to a blind man. Once in Mark 10, the Lord stood still and said, call him. And they called the blind man and they said, be courageous, stand up, He's calling you. So when the Lord calls us, we can really be bold, we can really gain in courage, because He gives us the faith, He gives us the Spirit. And the Spirit has really overcome everything. He's overcome death. And Lazarus, we saw, this Spirit can overcome even death. Our Lord overcame death Himself. Death couldn't keep its hand on Him. It was impossible for death to keep the Lord, because He had this life. He had the life. He trusted in the Father. He knew that the Father is living. He is almighty. And we can also know the same thing. We have the living and almighty God. He is capable to sweep out all death out of us. We have this living God, and we can really rely on this. We can trust that He can deal with all death in us. and we can really go for Him. We can arise, and when He speaks to us and calls us, then we should follow Him. He is with us. He will strengthen us. He will speak for us. We read Ephesians 5, "Arise, you who sleep, stand up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." We can stand up from all death. We can arise from all death. And if we are willing to take the step of obedience for the Lord, then He can really do so much. If we say, "Lord, maybe I'm weak, maybe I'm young, but I have faith, and I tell the Lord, here am I, send me." The Lord is seeking such. He asks, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" But because we have the spirit of faith, we say, "Here am I, send me." Amen. If we do this, then we enter into His strength. It's so glorious, I think, in Acts chapter 8, in the story about Philip and the eunuch, how the Lord proves His glory. And we can really see that everything is prepared. Philip was simply willing and ready to follow the Lord's ways. He was awake in his spirit. And he was immediately obedient to the Lord. He didn't contemplate too much about it. It was the Lord's work. It wasn't Philip's work. The angel appeared to him and said, "Arise and go toward the south." And at that time, Philip was in Samaria. And in verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them." So we see that Samaria accepted the word of God. At that time, there was a going on. The Lord started to move in Samaria. And there is also fruit. But at this very time, the Lord calls Philip and says, "Now go along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." But Philip was obedient. He didn't think too much about, "Why is the Lord now sending me along a deserted road? Why shall I go to the desert where there probably aren't going to be that much people walking around to preach the gospel?" But he was obedient. He went immediately. And in this way, the Lord can arrange this wonderful opportunity that he didn't miss this carriage where the eunuch was riding in, his chariot. If he had delayed, then this chariot probably would have passed by him. Yeah, he would have missed the train, we say in German. He would have missed the opportunity. You could say it's really not Philip's idea. It wasn't his, according to his concept. But Philip went because he was sent. I'm sure that he didn't think so much about, how can I preach the gospel in the desert? Maybe I should go to this city. I'm sure there will be open people there. No, this work was prepared by the Lord. And then the Lord brings a person by who is completely different than our concept. Right? In verse 27, we read, it's an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. So it was a man who probably from the time he was very young, he constantly really wanted to serve this queen, And he was a eunuch, that means he chastised himself, he couldn't have children, he couldn't have a family. So he really made a big decision to enter into this career. He wanted to serve this queen to, yeah, have a great career. It was often so that when there were people who had to deal with the kings and the queens, and they're very close to them, often they had to become eunuchs so that there wouldn't be any risk of them wanting to have their children be the successors and trying to bring the kings and queens down. So that means he really made a decision. Yeah, to become, we'd say, this secretary of the treasury. He was like the finance minister, the treasury secretary of all of Ethiopia. That's why it's so important. Yeah, we need to be awake. Yeah, this man wasn't really according to our concept, but the Lord knows all things. He can lead everything. And when Philip went along this way, and when the chariot passed by him, we can read, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. That means he was still listening to the Spirit. He was watchful. He was awake at all times. He had an ear for the Lord. So at the time when the chariot passed by, the eunuch was reading Isaiah. He went to Jerusalem to worship, but probably he was disappointed by the Jews. They probably didn't accept him. For the Jews, if someone is a eunuch, if someone, the Jews, in Deuteronomy 23, it says that no man who does this type of thing to his body should be accepted among the Jews. The Jews despise castration. So probably when this eunuch went to Jerusalem, he was probably disappointed because he was not accepted by the Jews. But while he was there, he bought this scroll of Isaiah and he read it on his way home. So he didn't give up. You can see, maybe even though he had a good life, he had a great career, he was seeking. He wanted to find the truth. He wanted to find something that gave him life. So he was reading Isaiah, and then Philip comes and listens. He hears that he's reading the prophet Isaiah. It's all things were led together by the Lord. And when Philip was, in the very moment that Philip passed by, this man was reading out of the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And this eunuch is so humble. It seems like he's really a humble man. He's not proud of what he has achieved in his life. But he says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip. He even asked Philip to come up and sit with him. It's really wonderful what the Lord can do. If we are willing, I haven't experienced so often that a person is so open like this eunuch was, that somebody says, please teach me, show me the Word of God, open the scriptures to me, actually is what he's asking. And then Philip is very, he knows his word. Says that as he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Yeah, Philip didn't delay very long. He just opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. It's so important that we preach Jesus as the gospel. There aren't that. We shouldn't make so many nice words, beautiful words. Often my experience was when I talk to people, I say, yeah, God is so good, and he wants to save people. Yeah, but Jesus is actually the main topic. We need to preach Jesus as the gospel. And it doesn't last very long until the eunuch believes. He believes. And immediately they were in the desert, and they found a place with water. And the eunuch knew immediately he needs to be baptized. He had such a faith. He said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? So we see that faith and baptism belong together. When we believe, we don't need to wait very long. The eunuch didn't think, okay, I'll wait a little while until I come home in Ethiopia, and then I can invite all my family, I can invite my friends, I can invite my relatives, make a big feast, and everybody can see me get baptized. He didn't delay at all. He saw this water and he was baptized immediately. This is the work of the Lord. That man would believe and be saved. And when this work was completed, then the Lord took Philip. The eunuch just had to believe and be saved, and then Philip could be raptured, taken away. And he raptured Philip, and he was found in Azotus. And what did he do? He passed through and preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip was always willing to preach the gospel. He was awake in his spirit. He was always willing to speak to the Lord. And that's why the Lord could say something so glorious. He could really arrange all things. We see the sovereignty of our Lord because Philip was obedient. Because he heard the Lord's voice and said, here I am, send me. Amen. That's why I think we should simply exercise our spirit. We should be awake in our spirit and always be willing to preach the word and not to be ashamed of the gospel, because this is what saves man. This is what saves the people. And then we can see for sure how the Lord can do great things in our life and save people in our surrounding environment. The Lord is really glorious. We can experience this today. It didn't stop with Acts, but the moving of the Spirit continues on today. The Lord says to the wheels, whirl. This is how he moves when he's on the throne. But to us today, he says, arise and go. And we can say in faith, okay, Lord, I stand up, I go, send me, I'm here for you, to stand for you, to speak for you, and then the Lord will work the rest. Amen. Lord, we want to arise and go. Here we are, send us.